welcome to podcast 2 of the Draken Wellbeing Awareness series, and in particular covering home to on-site working transition. Second of two podcasts, and if you haven't listened to podcast one, I suggest that you do before you listen to this one, and you can find a link to it on the same webpage that you found this podcast. And in that podcast I covered well-being, a broad look across what I mean by well-being and what we can do to consider maintaining good well-being, and we looked at the common factors that impact our well-being. So in this podcast, I'm going to cover a bit more on how to look after our well-being, including my darling Gran's copper, and no, that's not a police officer, and returning to on-site working, and that's whether we've been working on-site, whether we're returning to site from working at home. Who am I? My name's Alison Moore. I'm a registered accredited counsellor, well-being advisor and trainer. My background is in multinational tech businesses. In the 80s, I developed frequency hopping radios for the military. In the 90s, I worked on the comms for the Channel Tunnel. And in the noughties, I retrained as a counsellor and coach. And in the first podcast, we looked at what physical well-being was, mental well-being, social well-being and financial well-being. And we looked at stress, how stress is caused and what we can do to begin to manage our stress. And here I'm going to talk in much more depth about managing stress, and in particular relating it to the return to on-site working. There's a PDF handout with all this information in, which you can download from just below the link to the podcast, which I hope helps reduce your stress. And to recap about stress, most people feel stress sometimes, and some stress can be helpful. It's too much stress that makes us ill. Stress affects all of us differently, and there are common signs that we can look out for. Last time I talked about the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous systems, which means that whilst we have some elements of control over feeling stressed, a lot of it is outside of our control. So the causes of stress, well, change causes stress, and feeling out of control causes stress. Almost anything that affects our daily life, work or relationships can cause stress. Even seemingly small issues can cause stress if they go on for a long time. And some of us are more affected by stress than others, and different things will impact us. And that can depend on factors such as our personality, our upbringing and our work and our home life. And sometimes situation or events that can seem positive can cause stress, such as having a baby or getting married. And sometimes we can struggle to understand why we feel stress. And it's a change. And it's really important to recognise that it's okay to feel stressed in what is sometimes considered to be good situations. Yeah, and please do talk to someone. You can come and talk to me. And so the goal isn't to eliminate stress, which is impossible, it's to reduce it and to take time to recover from the stresses of daily life. And I do that by thinking about four pillars. It's about taking a minute often, building awareness, setting boundaries and bringing ease into our effort. Now I'm going to spend a little bit of time going into each of those in more depth now. So taking a minute often. Yeah, when our life gets busy, there can be a snowball effect. Busyness builds busyness. And if we don't take some time every day to interrupt the snowball from rolling, it gets bigger and faster and harder to stop, which leads to burning out. Or if I keep up with my snowball analogy, crashing into a wall. And we prevent this by regularly and intentionally pausing and taking time for ourselves. And that's even a minute. If we think about some of the display screen equipment requirements of taking a break every so often, I think it's sort of 10 minutes every 3 hours, and it suggests looking away. And that also helps with getting into the habit of taking a beat away from whatever it is we're doing, perhaps looking out the window, having a drink of water, so that we can help reset our stress levels. Building awareness, and that's about regularly acknowledging how much we're doing and how much that requires of our body, mind and heart. If we deepen our awareness of how stress impacts our well-being, that can motivate us to interrupt the stress cycle and prioritise our rejuvenation, rebuilding our resilience. And I think that's about having a bit of a body scan. You know, I'm having a wriggle now and thinking about how do my shoulders feel? How long have I been sat here? Would it be worth me getting up? And so on. So it's really important that we perhaps at first almost diarise checking in with how we're feeling. Now, setting boundaries. And by this, I'm thinking of kind of time boundaries so that when we're at work, we've got enough time to do the job. It can be also about setting boundaries of when people can come and talk to us. And I'm going to talk more about that when I get on to the specifics of back to office working. Yeah, create a boundary that supports you, that supports the things that are important to you. So whether that's it's absolutely essential that you get out and have a walk at lunchtime, and I would suggest that it is. It's absolutely essential that you have lunch and that you have regular breaks away and go and get your drinks of water. But really think about how you can set boundaries so that you don't get too much pressure. And bring ease into my effort. Well, what I mean by this is the tricky thing about stress is that it impacts our body's ability to effectively do its job. So with the previous example, I suggested make sure that you hold a boundary for having lunch. And you would probably choose to eat mostly a healthy lunch. But if we eat it while stressed, because perhaps we're feeling, oh, I shouldn't be having a lunch break because I haven't got time to have a lunch. Because we've got noradrenaline, adrenaline and cortisol coursing through our bodies, because the sympathetic nervous system is activated, then our body won't be able to digest and absorb all of the amazing nutrients that we consume. So sometimes we can think we're doing the right thing and we're not. Now, I want to turn to the specifics around what to do when we return to work on site or we've been working on site. So here are some statements. So I've been working on site. I'm used to a quiet location with space to social distance. I'm concerned about colleagues' behaviour and this is going to affect my use of car, income, expenditure, and this is going to increase my stress. All of those statements could apply to us if we've been working on site. What to do if we're returning to work on site? So here are some statements. I'm returning to work on site. I'm used to a quiet location with space to social distance. I'm concerned about colleagues' behaviour. This is going to affect my use of car, income, expenditure. This is going to increase my stress. And if you listened carefully and closely, you'd have realised that both those sentiments of whether we're on site and colleagues are returning or we're returning to work on site, actually, there's a really good chance that we're all feeling the same sorts of concerns. And I think if we can take a beat and remember that, that's going to make things a lot easier for us, no matter what our own perspective is. And I'm going to talk about returning to on-site working, thinking about the same four pillars that I used in the first podcast. So financial concerns, physical concerns, emotional concerns and social concerns. So financially, our income may change. There might be less or more overtime and our expenditure may increase. You know, we might now have travel or childcare costs, which we didn't have if we were working from home. And as I said, it's important that we consider these things and that we talk to colleagues, partners about them, because that's the surest way of diminishing our concerns and diminishing the stresses. Yeah, what else could we be impacted by? It could be buying lunches, for example, or remembering to order food for packed lunches. But there could be an impact on our financial well-being. So physical well-being, what stresses might we need to consider? Well, think about how you need to be with more colleagues on site. Think about your proximity to colleagues. Your working position, remember to move. For some of us, we won't perhaps even have been on site, and so the desks and the equipment and the computers could be completely new to us. So really do think about your working position and remember to move when you're at work. Ensure desk screens, lights, and everything is set up ergonomically for you. And listen to your body, as I said earlier. Really take a check in, and certainly, you know, every 15 minutes or so, you know, have a little shake at your desk, and every 50 minutes or so, you know, get up, go and get a drink of water. Emotional stresses that we might experience, so ease back in gently. Watch out for self-doubt. We are out of practice. Worrying if we've got it right is perfectly natural. You know, our socializing muscle in our brain has diminished quite a lot. I think most of us have noticed this. And with practice, we will get back up to speed and feel comfortable. And really be aware that we will all be on different timetables. Others will be on a different timetable to you. So it's okay if you're aware that you're still feeling some anxiety and it appears that others aren't. Go with your own pace. And remember to give colleagues time and space. And the social well-being, social stresses. We will all find something uncomfortable, the same way that we're all triggered differently by different events for our stress levels. This is going to be an individual process for us all. And please don't judge yourself, and in particular be hard on yourself, by how you think others are feeling or behaving. Just because of how someone looks doesn't necessarily mean that they're feeling absolutely fine inside. However you feel is perfectly natural. And be particularly aware of colleagues who have been working differently to you, whether that's colleagues who have been on site and you've been home working and vice versa. And make sure to give sufficient space to yourself and your colleagues. And by that, I mean physical and emotional space. And take a moment to be understanding if a colleague's behaviour is surprising. We're all going to be learning things again for the first time. And so if someone surprises us in how they're behaving, give them a bit of space so that they can regain their equanimity, their emotional balance. My gran's copper. So my gran lived in a house that didn't have hot water, and on a Monday laundry day, she filled the copper with hot water. We always ran out, and there was always a gap at the top of it. And I used to say to her, you know, fill it up more, Gran, fill it up more. No, no, no. Well, one day, of course, as a youngster, I did fill it up more. I didn't realise the line that she was filling it to dutifully said fill to here. And as a youngster, I filled it up. And when eventually it boiled, the lid came off, scalding water went everywhere. And I was really, really lucky that I wasn't permanently scarred with scalding. Well, what's this got to do returning to work? Well, all of the activities that happen that leave us feeling uncomfortable and create stress need us to activate the parasympathetic nervous system to rebuild our resilience. And we're all kind of like my gran's copper, and we've all got a level on it that says fill to here. And there's a really good chance that both recent events and changes to working practices could take us above that fill to here line. And so what we need to do is we need to let the hot water out the bottom quicken it. Now, my gran, she just had one tap to let the water out, and it took quite a while to get below the level that it was sparking and fizzing everywhere. And so what we can do, it would be great to stop putting the stressors in the top. Most of us can't do that. If you can, brilliant, and do. But what you can also do is do things to let the water out the bottom more quickly. And for me, that's the activities that rebuild our resilience and that activate the parasympathetic nervous system. Now, the full list is in the handout. However, there's a couple that I want to pull out now before I finish the podcast. So I've already talked about scanning our body. Laughter activates the parasympathetic nervous system. Drinking water does. Baked beans on wholemeal toast, if you can eat that, it's an incredibly nutritionally balanced meal and it really reassures and activates the parasympathetic nervous system. Listening to the right sort of music, and by that it's the right sort of music for us, and touch. You might notice if you see me doing training courses and things, sometimes I touch my lips. I'm touching my lips now. There are a myriad of nerve endings in our lips that if we touch them activates the parasympathetic nervous system, and so it's a really great quick shortcut way of helping diminish our stress levels. Just make sure you haven't got ink on your fingers, because I invariably have and I end up with blue lips. There's a full list in the PDF handout and other sources of help. SharePoint website, the link to it is in the PDF, has a whole raft of great sources of different advice. You know, please do go there. You can also access the Draken Employee Assistance Programme through MetLife, which again is on the website, or you can contact me and have a one-to-one conversation, which currently is by phone or Teams video, and you can email me on draken@agoodplace.co. I hope this has been helpful to you. Please have a look at the PDF and listen to the podcast again. My final words, whatever you're feeling is fine. And the most important thing, please remember to breathe. My name's Alison Moore. It's been great speaking with you and I hope the podcast has been helpful.